Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once again, dear brothers and sisters, I welcome you to this Holy Mass, the 17th Sunday of the Ordinary Time. I want to express the joy I experienced when I came into the sacristy and saw young people serving at Mass, 6 of them this evening. And when you look here in the church, you also could see a lot of young people. And that's the future of the church. Because sometimes in Rome, I go to places to celebrate masses, and I see a lot of older people. I remember once I only saw one little child who probably couldn't stay home alone. I was in the church running up and down, just one, the whole church. But here we have countless number of young people. And it's a thing to thank God for. And I pray that they sustain this faith, not only those here on the altar, but also those sitting down at the pews. Today, the opening prayer introduces us into this liturgy, as I would always let us know. The opening prayer this evening said, "O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy. Bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide." Now this part ends sort of what we are praying God to do for us. The next word introduces what we have to do with the grace of God. And then it says, "We may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure." And the church this week asks God to help us with his grace so that we may use the things of this world in such a way as to hold on to those things that endure. and the readings of this day introduce us also into the importance of charity as Christians, the importance of giving, and how God blesses our gifts and gives it to the poor and blesses them also through us. In the first reading, we read from the prophet from the second book of Kings. And we'd understand what happened there when we read some books of the Old Testament. If we read, for example, the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, from verse 10 to 14, there God was instructing Moses to tell the people of Israel. God said, "When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." God was instructing the people of Israel to bring their first fruit to the priest, so that the priest could not only bless them for it, but also utilize them especially for the poor. And so we're able to understand what happened in the first reading. A man brought Elisha 20 barley loaves from his first fruits. And then Elisha the prophet asked his servant to give it to the people to eat. When we compare that with what happened in the gospel, we see that Jesus was actually a fulfillment of the prophets, just like he said. "I came to fulfill the prophets, the prophecy you have been hearing. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Just as Elisha, Jesus had been teaching the crowds and had seen that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And after teaching them, he found that also they were hungry. And he asked Philip, "Where can we get bread to feed these people?" And Philip, looking at these people, 5,000 of them, Philip replied, "200 wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." And in the Old Testament, the second book of Kings also, Elisha's servant replied, "How can I set this before 100 people? 20 barley loaves. It can't be enough. They can't be enough for them to eat." And Andrew also said, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Now, people have brought their gifts, a man in the Old Testament and a little boy in the New Testament. These people were offering what they had to the prophet in the Old Testament and unto Jesus in the New Testament. And these gifts were given to the people. In the Old Testament, they were enough for them to eat, because Elisha replied, "For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And in the New Testament, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining. And the Bible tells us that after they had all eaten, they collected and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. In the Old Testament, again, when they had eaten, there was some left over. Now you could see them put side by side, just what happened in the Old Testament being fulfilled also in the New Testament. People bringing their gifts and Jesus transforming them and giving them to the people. From the Old Testament also, we have been having poor people among us. And even now, there are so many poor people all around the world. And if you're not poor, maybe you may not understand that there are people who wake up in the day and they're not sure of where to get food. That there are people who don't have shelter over their heads. There are people who can't go to school, not because they do not want to, but because they can't afford it. That there are people who don't have money in their pockets, not because they are not working, not because they are not hardworking, but because there is no opportunity for them to gain money. And so if you are educated, you have food, you have clothing, you have shelter, you have money, we all have things to thank God for. But then it doesn't end there. God wants us to give what we have so that others who don't have could benefit from what we have been blessed with. And that was exactly what St. Paul was saying. You know, St. Paul always would write, and the readings are aligned in such a way that St. Paul's message would bring us together to fit into what God wants us to do. And that second reading, I thank Maria for reading so very well. She read it as if she was Paul, the way she was reading it. St. Paul says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love. St. Paul says, we are one in the Lord. Poor people, wealthy people, those who have and those who don't have. And when we see all the scriptures and the writings from the Old Testament and even of the apostles, I want to read you something from the Didache. The apostles' teaching of how we all could continue to live our lives. The apostles thought and said, take the first fruits and give it to the prophets, for they are your high priests. And if you do not have a prophet that's a high priest, give such fruits to the poor. And I want to recognize with this a lot of work being done here in St. Thomas. I want to appreciate all of you. You are doing an enormous work even without knowing. I was with Father Steve and he was making some rosaries and I was asking him what he was doing with those rosaries. And he told me that he makes them and keeps them in the gift shop. And you come to buy them sometimes even at a cost of $150. And the money goes into a scholarship fund so that some people who can't go to school could benefit from it and go to school. And most of you have been doing that without even knowing how much people you have trained. But I want to assure you that even while you do that without knowing, God blesses you a lot. And I went to the gift shop to see some of those rosaries, and Father Steve tells me how many have been sold and you have bought them, not just because they're worth the amount, but because you want to help. And some of you even silently have some scholarship funds and are helping people who need them. I want to recognize your efforts, and I want to tell you that God knows you, however much you bring in, and God blesses us for however much we bring in. And God spreads whatever we bring in and uses them to feed the poor. So for those who are given, I encourage you, go on with that. God blesses you. And for those who still have some dissenting voices, like Phillips, like Elisha's servant, no, this might not go around. This is not enough. You may not have enough to give. The word of God today encourages you. Nobody has nothing to give. And I want to show you also what Pope Leo said. He said, the works of mercy are innumerable. They are a variety and brings this advantage to those who are true Christians. And then he says that in matter of almsgiving, not only the rich and affluent, but also those of average means and the poor are able to play their part. Those who are unequal in their capacity to give can be equal in the love within their hearts. So giving love also is a part of charity, because there are some people who lack love, and we can give our love even if we don't have money to give. And so let us today harness our gifts, harness what God has given us. If it is love, if it's gifts of money, whatever it is, the church today encourages us. Let us use this so that the poor also could experience the love of God. We pray that we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. Amen.